Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And we're certainly glad that you're with us tonight. And we're going to open in a word of prayer here in just a moment. But again, a reminder to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out a lot more about me, about the program, and also about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And we certainly invite you to visit us there. Well, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just thank you and praise you for giving us an opportunity. We just pray that you bless the program this evening. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you for all these things, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And wow, it's been a busy week. I was going to share a couple of things here over the course of the program, probably off and on here tonight, but I spent this past week in Washington, D.C., and not really an official trip for anything in particular, more vacation, but I was able to be there for the 79th anniversary of the D-Day invasion on June the 6th, and so that was nice. I'll be talking some more about some things with that here a little bit later, and of course, a big thing while there was the smoke. I know there was a lot of smoke here during that time frame, but you just had this orange, brown, khaki color haze in the air from the smoke. And on Thursday in particular was the worst day. It was so bad you could hardly see across the Potomac. The smoke was that bad. And standing in the middle of the mall in Washington, D.C., it smelled like some people had campfires burning all around you. You could actually literally smell wood smoke. And of course, it's coming from the fires in Canada. And so certainly we pray for the people that are impacted by those fires that are going on. And you know, initially it was the fires in Western Canada. And then, of course, more recently, there's been fires in Eastern Canada. And so we may touch on some of those things again a little bit later on this evening. But again, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. We'd love to have you visit us sometime. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. And I emphasize Suite 200 because we're in a commercial space. If you look for a building with a steeple, you probably won't find us. And we're about midway between Akron and Cleveland. We're right about where 271 and 77 cross there in Northern Summit County. And we have our regular services on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, or I'm sorry, 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the book of the Gospel of John. And we just finished up the section in chapter 4 dealing with the woman at the well. And we spent several weeks on that. And there's some really interesting things that's in that account that are really applicable to us today as believers. And we may touch on some of that this evening as well. And then, of course, on Sunday nights, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 24, and I was there where it talks about the just the just man falls seven times, but riseth back up there Proverbs chapter 24, and I should know that right off the top of my head. Verse 16, there we are. But as I pointed out to our church tonight, when it says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again," that's one clause out of a larger sentence that covers verse 15 and 16, and when you find out it's part of a larger sentence, you realize that's not even the main subject. That is just something in that passage that helps and reinforces the main subject, which is actually, if you read verse 15 where the sentence starts, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous, spoil not his resting place." The main subject is a warning to the wicked who wish to attack God's people. And so a very interesting passage when you realize that verse 15 and verse 16 is one whole sentence. And as I've said before, when I was in junior high school, I had an English teacher named Mrs. Hertwriter, which I always maintain is just an absolutely great name for an English teacher, Hertwriter. But she taught us sentence diagramming. And I'm not going to say I'm the greatest sentence diagrammer in the world, but thanks to Mrs. Hertwriter, I think it makes it easier to understand some of these complex sentences. And so she knew what she was talking about. And so I'm indebted to her for teaching sentence diagramming. I remember as I think it was about eighth grade or something like that, whatever grade I was in, I remember thinking, when am I ever going to use this again in my life? Well, I use it a lot in understanding and dissecting what the Word of God has to say. So anyway, we may talk on that some more as well, but also talking a little bit about our trip to D.C. and some of the things that we had there. But in addition to that, of course, is the phone lines, which are open. And if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we would love to hear from you tonight. As I said, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I've got an article up there which I may touch on this evening as well. The title of the article is "Pride Goeth Before Destruction." And well, just wonder where I could have gotten inspiration for that article. Well, this month is Pride Month, and so I discuss the social, chronological, and spiritual origins of Pride Month and why pride is such a dangerous and deadly sin. And we may be talking about that on the program tonight as well. So a lot of things to talk about this evening. And as I said, we'll be with you until midnight tonight. I know that not everybody's able to stay up till midnight listening. And I know that one of the dangers as a pastor is that we, occupational hazard, we put people to sleep. I said before, when I went into the ministry and I got out of the Air Force and I went into the ministry and I was talking to somebody I knew from high school, and I was his younger brother, who had gone on to become a medical doctor. He actually became an anesthesiologist. I hadn't seen him in many years, and he happened to be there when I was there. And so he said, "So what are you doing today?" And I said, "Or doing now?" And I said, "Well, I'm basically in the same business that you're in, except you get paid more." And he looked at me and I said, "I'm a pastor." So he liked that. He liked that. But it says occupational hazard, especially when it's late at night on a Sunday night. And if you've been in church and busy and different things and getting ready for the work week. So understand that happens sometimes. So you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to past programs there. And, of course, you can always go to the radio station here, whkwradio.com, and you can listen. There's podcasts, not only ours available there at whkwradio.com, but also other programs that are on the station here. And just a for your information type thing, if you're having trouble getting the radio station on air, You can go there and listen to their app, download their app. I've got it on my cell phone. When I was in Washington, D.C. this past week, there's a couple of programs. I just took my cell phone out, and I went to the WHKW radio app, and I just clicked on the app, and it took me right to the station, and I was able to listen right there on air as the program was here. And so you can actually take that. You can travel, and when you're out of town, you can listen to your favorite programs all there at WHKWradio.com. Well, anyway, getting back to our web page, get myself tongue-tied here, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, or livewithpastoral.com. There you go, livewithpastoral.com. And you can tie into a lot of these things. You can also see some of our social media there, our articles that we have. And usually about once a month, they got a new article there. And you can listen to some of those and some other things and some other materials and things, as well as our past programs, all at livewithpastoral.com. All right. Well, again, those phone numbers are 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. We've got Nancy who's called in, and she has been patiently waiting. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Good evening to you, too.
Well, good evening. Good to talk to you tonight.
Thank you. Now, before I get to my topic, I was very, very interested that you and your whole family went to Washington, D.C. That's my hometown. I was born.
Oh, I had forgotten about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Chevy Chase, D.C. Both my parents worked for the government. Mm-hmm. And my twin sister and I, we love to take the bus downtown and go to all the different sites. One of our favorites, and we went to the Smithsonian, all the different Smithsonian museums. And one of our favorite was the Washington Monument. And, of course, I was a lot younger then. And we would climb up and down the stairs. We thought that was so much fun. It was mm-hmm. 555 steps.
Wow.
That was one of my favorite things. And then I went to the Library of Congress during my senior year of high school. And it was such a great research place to do research. I was just curious, besides the D-Day celebration, did you have a favorite sightseeing place that you went to?
Well, there's a lot of places that we had trying to get to, and we managed to get to a lot. The World War II Memorial, as far as the war memorial goes, I think is one of the most beautiful memorials. If people haven't been there, I encourage you to check that out. And as you go in, it's got the Atlantic side and the Pacific side. And then, of course, the D-Day prayer circle is the Circle of Remembrance, which is on the Atlantic side. It's just outside of the arch. It almost looks like it's not a part of it, but it is a part of it. And of course, this was an ongoing project over the last 11 plus years or so. We've had Chris Long on here before. He's the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. I'm getting tongue-tied tonight. It's been a long day after a long week, but Ohio Christian Alliance. And he had woke up one night with a dream, you know, hey, there should be a memorial like this at the World War II Memorial. There should be some inclusion of the D-Day prayer. And he shared it with his wife, and they prayed about it, and they shared it with a few others. And, of course, Senator Portman in the Senate, and then Representative Johnson in the House, both here from Ohio, they picked up the idea and championed it. It passed through the House and the Senate. And President Obama, of all people at the time, initially was not wanting to sign it, but then he did sign it. And without much fanfare. And so then began the process, a long process, because those memorials are all built with private funds. It's not government funds. And so it was a fundraising effort, as well as the design and getting the design through. And of course, it's not just one person that's involved. The National Park Service has to be involved because it was the World War II Memorial. The Friends of the World War II Memorial, which is a nonprofit group that kind of oversees the maintenance and the development of the memorial, they had to be involved. And of course, they wanted to try and claim credit for the whole thing themselves, but thankfully, God saw to it that the Ohio Christian Alliance and the people that were supporting the Alliance, Ohio Christian Alliance, were recognized, and Chris Long was recognized for his work. After all, it was his dream, and so over the years there was some progress being made and some setbacks, and it looked like the funding wasn't going to come through, and then all of a sudden. There was a couple million, whatever it was, that suddenly came through, was made available, and boom, there was the funding. And then, of course, COVID came in, and prices went up, and schedules got behind. Last November on Veterans Day, the memorial was nearly complete, just a few minor things that had to be done, and, of course, landscaping that had to be done, but which couldn't be done until this spring. Mm-hmm. And we were with a group, my wife and I, and my son. We went out there, and we were able to be a part of a ceremony on Veterans Day that was held in the World War II Memorial, and then a special recognition. In fact, Bob France on 1420, our sister station, was the MC there for that. And then, of course, historian William Federer was there, and he has the American Minute, which you can hear many places, and right here on 1420, I believe, as well. And he was there and talking, and then we toured some other memorials as well while we were there. So to be able to go back and be there on the anniversary of the D-Day invasion, which, of course, was this past Tuesday, June the 6th, that was a real blessing to be able to be there. Well, Chris Long, the Ohio Christian Alliance, had been invited to be there for their official dedication ceremony with the National Park Service and the Friends of the World War II Memorial put on, and he was graciously given a little recognition, at least, since it was his idea. He needed to have some recognition, and also a reminder that it wasn't the secular side of things that pushed for this. It was God's people that were pushing for this, God saw this through, because on the World War II Memorial itself, it was built at a time when there was this de-emphasis of all things Christian on a lot of the memorials in D.C., and there was a spot where the inscription that's on there, it was supposed to end with "So help us God," and they said, "Well, there's not enough room," so they left off "So help us God." Well, if you can imagine a board, maybe or a wall, maybe 10 feet wide and 8 feet tall or so, and having taken up maybe the center third of the wall with the inscription, and they're claiming there wasn't enough room.
Oh,
just sounds like an excuse more than anything else.
Sure does.
And so there was resistance to put this prayer, because this prayer, as I was telling our church, I have no pretense that I'm going to get to heaven and see President Franklin Delano Roosevelt there. There's nothing about his life that I know of that suggests that he was a born-again Christian. In fact, he died about a week after saying that as long as he was alive and he was president, that the United States would never recognize a Jewish state over in the Middle East. And of course, he died, and about a week or so after that, and his vice president, Harry Truman, became the president. And then he, of course, because he grew up going to a Baptist church, is his grandfather, I believe, was a pastor, and he had always heard that the Jewish people were special to God. God had a plan, a purpose for them. And when he was told by all of his advisors, many of them carries over from the Roosevelt administration, that the Jews were planning on declaring themselves a sovereign state, and that the United States under no circumstances should recognize this new Jewish state. And the Secretary of State and everybody was telling him not to do it. And yet President Truman sat in his office, and he had already had a telegram typed up to be sent out, and where the United States was recognizing the new Jewish state. And I believe it's Josh McTernan, in his book, As America Has Done to Israel, has a picture, a copy of the telegram where Truman, when he found out it was going to be called Israel, crossed out the Jewish state and put Israel in there. Nobody knew it would be called Israel. And it's kind of interesting, because in Psalm 83, which is yet to be fully fulfilled, the enemies of the Jewish state surround them. And it says this, let me just flip over here, Psalm 83, it says in verse number 3, they've taken, talking about their enemies, they've taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. In verse 4 it says, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. That could just about be lifted from the Hamas charter or the Hezbollah charter.
Wow.
They are dedicated to the elimination of Israel. And here it is in Psalm 83, identifying the enemies that they want to cut off the name of Israel, the nation, and that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. And they didn't know it was going to be called Israel, and President Truman put that in there. So, and I was also going to mention, too, President Roosevelt died there in Georgia at the summer White House, where he would often go, and he had a mistress that was there in all the times. That's what I'm saying. I'm under no pretense, to believe that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a born-again Christian. So why get excited about a prayer that was written by an unsaved individual? Well, the idea of it is, and I think it's what is on the front of the memorial now, it says a prayer for the nation. And what it serves as is a reminder that there was a time in our nation in the not very recent past when even the unsaved recognized the influence of God and the necessity of appealing to divine providence. Even the unsaved had a certain amount of respect for God and his word. And we've pretty much lost that today. We really have. And when you see that, it's a reminder. President Roosevelt, like I said, it was a speech, you know, that he gave to announce to the world on the radio that night. Remember, he had his fireside chats to announce the fact that the D-Day invasion had indeed begun, and of course have the anniversary of that this past Tuesday, in the 79th anniversary of that, to be able to dedicate officially D-Day prayer edition there in the Circle of Remembrance. It was really a great thing. My family and I got there a little bit later. It had already been completed, the ceremony, but there was a number of wreaths and different things that had been set there that were still there in the center of the Circle of Remembrance. And to be able to go in there, just absolutely nice. It's such a restful, peaceful place. You've got some of the shrubs and trees there that kind of hang over it. And there was a guy there. He had been taking pictures during the ceremony, and he was an Army veteran. Got to talk to him a little bit, and he was from Washington, D.C. as well, grew up there, and he was pointing out how that the War Department, before it was called the Defense Department, it was the War Department, and they used to have wooden buildings that were just there behind on as the hill goes down to a little lagoon area there in the back, where, if I remember correctly, there's a monument to the signers of the Declaration of Independence, I think, back there. But they used to have these wooden buildings back there where the War Department met, and he said his mother was a clerk typist back there during World War II. And that was kind of interesting. And so, of course, he too grew up in Washington, D.C., and coming in there, and now to be up there and to see this. And they carried over in the memorial the same granite that is in the main part of the World War II memorial. So it carries that through. And then there's two paths that come in at an angle. So you get people from two different directions coming in. And a very, 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 very restful place. And as we were there, you would see people come in and stop, and they would be reading the prayer and touching. It's a big brass or bronze plaque, and the letters are raised, and it just almost compels you to feel the words, and run your fingers across it. And as you look up from that, you're looking in through the Atlantic Arch into the World War II Memorial. And so even though the man who gave the prayer, I don't think is a born-again Christian, but it was a recognition of God, and it calls people to remember that we need to look to God in times of crisis and need in our country. And so for that, I think it's a very worthy project. And of course, Chris Long happened to be there still because he was there, and he waited. He knew I was coming into the area, and so he waited. And he was there after I left, too, as well. And just for him, it was just an amazing thing, of course, to be able to just to sit there and see people coming in after he spent so much of his time and effort,
fulfillment of his dream.
Yeah, to do that.
Of you and your family that Chris Long took, that's on your Facebook, is just amazing. It's just one of the best pictures I've seen of your family. And a little tidbit about FDR and his mistress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I lived in Chevy Chase, D.C., on 32nd Place, and there was this restaurant called the Purple Iris about two blocks from my house, and they say that FDR took his mistress there about once a week. Hmm. I don't know if that's true or not, but this is what I grew up hearing, and I didn't think too much about it. But what I was calling about was Psalm 117.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's so amazing, just two verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. I just think that it's only two verses, and it just has so much profound truth in it. And I just want to know, did you ever preach a sermon on Psalm 117? Just curious.
Well, yeah, actually. I actually have. I mentioned in the beginning that I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. Well, before I preached through the book of Proverbs, I actually preached through the entire Psalms. And that was a challenge. In fact, I'm looking at my one Bible that I was using primarily when I was preaching there. And I had forgotten that I had done this. I actually have an outline, if you know what a keystone looks like. I have an outline like a keystone there going around that. And at the top of it, I've got the phrase written, Keystone of the Bible. And and it is. I mean, the keystone of the Bible. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And that really is the keystone of the Bible. I mean, it's near the center of the Bible, even, really, if you think about it. I think
stand. Yeah, it's the center of the Bible.
Yeah, the center of the Bible, I think, is in the next, in Psalm 118, about verse 8. But this is the keystone of the Bible. Hey, we're coming up on the break here in just a few seconds. We can hold you over there a little bit, Nancy, but we're going to take a break here, and stay tuned. We got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can learn more about me, about the program. You can listen to past programs, listen to a variety of articles that we have there. There's some other materials and comments that are there as well. There's also links to a number of our social media sites that we're on, where you can follow more. I tend to try to put some different things out there from time to time, and you can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. Not only are we brought to you tonight by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is our primary sponsor, where I'm the pastor here in Richfield, Ohio, but we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Great pizza. It's my favorite pizza. And I was also going to mention, too, that if you're interested in getting into business for yourself, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And talk to Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business. It wouldn't be a franchise. It would be your own business, but he can help you get started there. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, 216-341-9100. Give them a call. Let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're going to get back to our program here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we were talking with Nancy as we went into the break, and we were talking about Psalm 117. Nancy, are you still there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Al. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we were talking about Psalm 117. You'd asked if I ever preached on that, and
can I just say one
sure.
thing?
Uh-huh.
I have a confession to make. Our assistant pastor, Jeffrey Podolsky, preached on that this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really got my attention, and I would just love to hear you expound more on it also, because I don't know why I just never really concentrated on that particular chapter, and the fact that it's only two verses, you know, it's just incredible to me. And then two chapters later, Psalm 119, it has 176 verses.
Right,
and
we go from the shortest to the longest.
Yeah, and you hear it's not quality. It's not quantity, but quality that's important. But,
mm-hmm.
of course, Psalm 19 has quality also, so that wouldn't really apply. And I don't think that's anywhere in the Bible. But it just, I thought it was so interesting. It's so close to Psalm 119, and yet it's so short. But, I mean, it just amazes me. I've just been really concentrating on this. These two little verses are so mm-hmm. profound.
Well, as I was saying before the break, you know, I drew a little outline around it like a keystone, and I put the notation keystone of the Bible. Now that's not my original mm-hmm. thought. I had seen that somewhere, and it makes sense. And the reason it makes sense is, you know, if you hold your finger there in Psalm 117 and go all the way back to Revelation chapter number 4, I believe it is, Revelation mm-hmm. chapter number 4, when John is caught up into heaven and he sees the throne of God there, and he sees the 24 elders with their crowns before the throne. And it says this in Revelation chapter 4, starting verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And in that statement there, he says that we are created to bring pleasure to God. We're created for his mm-hmm. pleasure. And that's why they said he's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And if you follow that thought and you go back to the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 43, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 7, it says, God is speaking here, and he says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. So when you look at those two passages, Isaiah 43:7 says that we are here for God's glory. And in Revelation 4, verse 11, he's worthy to receive glory, honor, and power because we were created for his pleasure. And then you go back to Psalm 117. What do you see here? Oh, praise the Lord is the very first thing that you see. And oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. And there's two things about that. One is, you know, the idea of praise. And actually, the Hebrew word for praise here it has to do with showing or shining forth, meaning shining forth, showing forth the glory of God, all ye nations, which means what? Not just the Jewish people, it means everybody, all people. And then the next phrase in verse 1 is, praise him, all ye people. And that praise comes from a Hebrew word which has to do with sounding forth the glory of God, which is interesting. As we praise him, we should show forth and sound forth his glory. And and then it says, all ye people, which again means everybody, not just the Jewish people, but everybody. And that reflects the fact that we're all created for his glory and for his pleasure. And then the reminder for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of God endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And again, it's that shine forth praise. And when we think about this, this is the center, the keystone, what holds it all together, the fact that the mercy of God that we experience, we should praise him and we should give thanks to him. We glorify him. And that brings pleasure to God. In fact, just as I was saying that, it reminded me of another passage over in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says this in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then notice verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For all eternity, we are going to be before the Lord as a testimony to his grace, his kindness, his mercy, his long suffering, and we will praise God and give him the glory and the honor that's due him, and we will bring pleasure to God by doing that. That's what he created us for. And of course, some people say, well, God's being awful narcissistic then, isn't he? No. When somebody takes the time to create something, an artist sits down. I had a friend of mine when I was in the Air Force, very talented artist. He could paint, and he would paint pictures that just were great. They were tremendous. And after he got out of the Air Force for a time, he even operated a studio. And over the years, lost touch with him. But he was very good. And when he would paint a painting, he would have pleasure in the act of creating the painting, but when he was done with it, I actually have one of his paintings hanging in my living room, and when he was done with it, he would look at it, and he would enjoy the finished product of his handiwork, and he would enjoy, no doubt, when somebody looked at what he had done and complimented him on it, and so why would we deny God that pleasure? Instead, call him narcissistic or something. You know, look what he has done. He is our creator. He is our redeemer. And for him to desire to sit back and enjoy what he has created, to enjoy that which he's redeemed, that is something that brings pleasure to him. And we should give him the praise and the honor. And that's why I think this is very effective, the keystone of the Bible, because it talks about just that. Praising him, everybody praising him, showing forth, sounding forth his praises, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. That's the central theme of the Bible, giving glory to God. And I think that's great. So hopefully that got something for you there, Nancy. That's a great passage.
God bless you. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you. I appreciate that again. God bless. And we've got Terry, who's been patiently waiting. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening. Are you enduring the smoke up there in Canada?
Maybe a little bit, not too much.
Well, it was all in Washington, D.C. this past week, believe me. It was something else. We went there Monday and stayed there through Friday. Got back Friday afternoon, and I'm telling you, it was smoky, and especially Thursday. That was the worst day.
The air quality was pretty high.
Or low, I guess.
Or pretty low?
Yeah.
Pretty low, I guess.
I mean, bad.
Low,
yeah. I saw one thing on the news while we were there. They were saying at one point New York City, I guess, was considered some of the worst air quality of any city in the world. It's just the way the weather brought everything down. Hopefully the fires are, gaining control over them. I know they had the ones out west, and then of course the ones in Quebec, I believe. I think they were having a number of them as well.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, this time of year, people shouldn't light big fires, but they do.
Well, and it's been so dry. I don't know about where you're at, but here in northeastern Ohio, I think we went about a month at least. I think we went about 4 weeks with no rain.
Same here.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason I'm thinking about that is because it was back in early May that I got my garden tilled up, and I planted some things, and it had rained. Last time it had rained was several days, not quite a week, I don't think, before we got the garden tilled up. And I remember hadn't had a drop of rain since then until today. We had some rain come in this afternoon, and it was a long, steady rain. It was still drizzly even tonight. By the time I left my house, we had about 3/4 of an inch of rain today, and it came over a period of several hours, a relatively gentle shower, so everything could soak in. Very unusual for the lawns here to be brown this time of year. It looked like looking out at August or something, but hopefully things will green up.
We finally got some much-needed rain here, too.
Yeah, and I'm hoping my garden will start perking up, and we've got some things trying to come up, but until they can get some roots down into where the soil's moister, they got to have some help. And this rain was very, very much needed, very, very thankful for it. When we got to church for the evening service, we were all thankful for the rain, believe me. So
I'm sure the farmers are pretty happy about it.
You know, I saw one thing, a berry farm in our area, they said that they were not going to have fields open for people to come and pick strawberries because they had some, basically you come in and pick them, and so you get them at a lesser rate than if they pick them for you. And as they said, it's the first time in their history, like 49 years or something like that, that they've not been able to open their berry fields up because, you know, they have areas where they pick, you know, and they pack them themselves. They said they still had some of that they could, but it's just the way that the lack of rain, the berry harvest wasn't what it should have been, and so they were not letting people into the strawberry fields.
Yeah, so. It sounds like I'm not working tomorrow. I never heard from the boss, so I guess we're supposed to be getting rain tomorrow, too, all this for the next few days. So.
Well, and it's kind of hard to be up on the roof working when it's raining. So.
Yeah, especially if it's a re-roof.
Yeah, it's like
we do a lot of new construction.
Uh huh. Yeah. So. I was gonna say it's like the guy that his wife was complaining that the roof was leaking, and he said, "Well, I can't get up there and fix it now. It's raining." And then later on, a day or so later, when it was nice and dry, she said, "Well, why don't you get up and fix the roof?" He said, "Why? It's not leaking." So.
That's funny.
So.
I'll tell you something funny. A guy falls off a cliff and he's hanging on by a root, by a limb, right?
Uh-huh.
And he looks up in the heaven and he says to God, he says, "What should I do?" And God says, "Do you have faith? Jump." And he looks up in the heaven again and he says, "Is there anybody else up there?"
Yeah.
He didn't like the answer.
Yeah. As far as a humorous joke goes, that's good. But there's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of times people don't know what to do. They ask God for help, and they don't like the answer. And they say, is there anybody else, basically, or there, can I get some other answer? Gideon did that with his fleece test, remember? You know, he doubted God. God said, listen, you're going to do this. And, well, I don't know. How can I be sure? Because I told you so. And of course, obviously, I'm paraphrasing. And so finally, he's like, well, let me put this fleece down and let it be wet everywhere on the ground and the fleece be dry. And so, you know, how can you doubt that? So morning comes, the fleece is dry and the ground is soaking. And he said, well, maybe I'm still not getting the right answer. How about I do it another time tonight, let the fleece be wet and the ground dry. And he wrings out a bowl full of water from the fleece next morning, and he's still questioning whether or not he should do it. You know, it's because he didn't want to do it. He was looking for excuses and reason not to. But we tend to do that.
Actually, I learned that from your president, Reagan. He's quite a humorous guy.
Oh, yeah, he did. He had a, yeah, my favorite Reagan joke was, I was in the Air Force when he was president, so it was a nice time to be in, but was when he made the microphone test, and he was somebody, he knew how microphone tests went and all that. He knew what was going on. He did it just to tweak the Russians. He said, I've just signed legislation banning the Soviet Union. The missiles will start flying in 10 minutes or something like that. And the left went berserk. And he laughed. But President Reagan, and of course you had Margaret Thatcher in England. And I remember in Canada, wasn't it Prime Minister Muldoon, was it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think during that time, because I remember one time President Reagan and the Canadian Prime Minister were together doing something, and he said, who'd ever thought the two Irish boys could do something like this? Because both of them with Irish ancestry.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I think it was Muldoon. That's the name that comes to my mind. But that was an interesting time, wasn't it?
Reagan really had quite a sense of humor.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So, and he was the man for the times. He really was. I mean, he set in motion events that brought the demise of the Soviet Union and the end of the Cold War. Of course, it happened after his presidency during the watch of President George H.W. Bush. And unfortunately, because of Alzheimer's, President Reagan probably never able to really fully enjoy the fruit of his labors. But when you study his presidency and you see the things that he did, it put the Soviet Union in a very difficult economic position, for one thing. And I would say that the three people most responsible for the end of the Cold War and the Soviet Union was President Ronald Reagan, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in England, and believe it or not, Pope John Paul II. And I'm a Baptist pastor saying that because he had a lot of backdoor influence into Poland that allowed us, and I remember I was in at the time, and I can't tell everything that I was privy to, but I was in at the time, and the Pope was very instrumental in a lot of ability of us to influence and get resources into Poland during that time to aid Lech Walesa and the Solidarity Movement. Had it not been for the influence of the Pope, we probably would not have been able to keep that movement going, and the Soviets would have eventually crushed the Solidarity Movement in Poland. But thanks to those individuals and the work that they did, the cruise missiles in England that Margaret Thatcher allowed, Prime Minister Thatcher, and that Reagan had the courage to put there, the support of Solidarity in Poland, many of those things came together, as well as the support of the people in, believe it or not, Al-Qaeda and different ones in Afghanistan, that kept the the war that the Soviets were involved in Afghanistan for 10 years going longer really was very draining on the Soviet Union. We bankrupted them, and then of course everybody called it Star Wars, Strategic Defense Initiative, and we implied that we had stuff that we didn't have, and the Soviet Union was panicking, trying to keep up with. They just couldn't. We outspent them, capitalist society. We were able to outspend them, and it bankrupted them, and they collapsed. But God had his hand upon that, bring the right people together at the right time. Hey, Terry, we're almost out of time here. Did you have something else you wanted to add to?
Yeah, I was going to bring up the Beatitudes, but I was just say one more thing about Reagan. He, the famous words that he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Yeah.
Tear down this wall." Yeah.
And you know, his advisors told him not to say that.
Lucky he didn't listen to his advice.
Exactly. They also told him not to call it an evil empire, but he did. He listened. There's argument as to whether or not Ronald Reagan was saved. I've heard some very credible arguments made that he truly was a born again Christian. Maybe he didn't always live the way that we would expected one to. But I hope and pray that that's the case, and that we get to see him in heaven.
I was doing some research, and towards the end of his life, apparently he became more of a Latter-day Saint.
Well, but I don't know.
Be wrong about that.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm hoping and praying that he's truly born again, because I'd love to meet him in heaven. But
yeah, I really liked him as a president.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I've been studying quite a bit in Matthew,
mm-hmm.
and the Beatitudes. It's quite the words that Jesus spoke of,
mm-hmm.
this whole chapter.
Yeah.
And there's some things that are kind of hard. You got to really think about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that shall mourn and for they that shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and so on and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. So much in this.
Well, and the Beatitudes is one of those things that's like a spiritual speed bump. You got to slow down and look at it and see what's going on around it in order to fully understand it. So, hey, Terry, we're just about out of time in this half hour, and appreciate your calling in tonight, and we'll catch it. I'm sorry?
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, then.
If you want to talk about this in the next segment, that would be nice.
All right. Well, we'll catch up with you next time, then. I got to change direction here a little bit yet tonight. So God bless.
Okay.
And you take care. And again, stay tuned. We've got another hour left in the program. And so stay tuned. We'll be right back.